The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
And thank you, Brother Josh, for doing such a great job with that. Well, it's good to have young people have a heart for God, isn't it? Amen. And that is very good. Thank you, young people. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to Psalms. Look at Psalm 122 in verse 1. Here's a testimony where the Bible says this: I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. I remember coming up as a young religious young man and going to church often, if you will, and performing different religious tasks that I was performing inside of the church. But I remember the day that I got saved and I found a real Bible-believing church. And I remember being offered, being, if you would please, invited, and yes, being persuaded to go up into the house of the Lord. I remember the first time I ever went to a independent Baptist church, and that's what you're sitting in this morning, but I remember the first time I ever went to an independent Baptist church, it was different than what I was used to. They said, open your Bible. Where I was attending before, we did not open Bibles. But they said, open your Bible. And I thought that was a novel idea. And so I listened. I did not have a Bible at that time. I did not own a Bible at that time. But I listened as the preacher got up and he said, you know, open your Bible. And I thought, well, that's just so good because they're going to the Bible. All within about 3 weeks, God gave me my very own Bible. And so when he said, open the Bible, I was like just every new believer. And he said, turn to the book of Matthew. I'm thumbing through. I knew it was in here someplace. So I started at the beginning of Genesis and just kept going through. I knew I would find it eventually. And then I found out that the Bible had a table of contents in it. And so I thought, okay, I can do that. Then different ones, you know, I noticed they had these little tags sticking out of their Bible. And I thought, what is that all about? And I noticed that they had the names of the books of the Bible on it. And so I thought, well, I think I'd like to do that. And I couldn't find them. And so I thought, I'll just memorize the books of the Bible. And then, I tried to learn it quickly so I'd know where to turn and how I could get there in a more speedy fashion. So when the preacher got it, you know how it is sometimes as a new believer, when the man of God gets up, preacher gets up, and he says, turn to this book. And it's like, I have no clue where this book is. And so I started learning the books of the Bible. That was the very first thing I ever started to do. And that way, when the preacher got up, I would know where the book is. It's good to know where the book is for yourself, for growth. It's also helps out not to be embarrassed. And so I was turning in the Bible, and the church used the Bible all the time. Now, thank God for churches that use the Bible. Thank God for that. And so I was in such a church. And so my pastor got up and he said, turn to this book. And I got pretty good at it where I could get in that book pretty quick. And then I started noticing that people were writing their Bibles. And at first I had an opinion about that. I thought, you know, they're writing their Bibles and I just don't know if that's really good. I mean, you know, are you really supposed to write on the pages of God's Word? And then I learned that, oh, it's good to take notes and it's good to take them where you're reading at and stuff like that. And so I started just barely getting in, and I would write really light in my Bible because I didn't want to offend God. And then I learned, well, it's okay. And so I started writing in my Bible and started taking notes. And then as I go back and read my Bible through every year or so, sometimes a couple of times a year, I'd be able to catch those notes again and be able to learn and grow and things of that nature. But then there came a time in my life where I just, you know, at first it was all new. I didn't know if I liked it. I thought I liked it. I wasn't sure if I liked it, you know, and it was just all new to me. But then I started really liking it. I started liking the people that was going to that church. I started getting adapted to they use hymn books in the church. And I started to get adapted to using a hymn book and stuff like that. And then I started to make friends inside the church. And then somebody asked me, my first bus captain was Tide Comstock. And Tide asked me to help out on his bus route. He was already a bus captain there. So I said, okay, I'll help out with that. And I found out he worked on a milk farm. And so every so often I'd be able to go over and show up at the milk farm and stuff like that to help out. And friendships started to grow. Now, can I tell you that that there is great advantages in being in a local church. Now, every so often, I preach just a so practical type of message that you can put your teeth into it almost anywhere, and it's going to be that way this morning. I want to speak this morning on continuing in the local church. Over in the book of Acts, I invite you to turn there. Book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. All right? So here's what we see. There was something there that caused them to continue. I believe this. I believe that every believer has a natural hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that have been saved, those that are believers, as I said a moment ago, there's that sweet Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, and your spirit, if you would please, lining up with His Spirit, and there becomes a natural craving in order to go and in order to obey. But in order to be able to go and to obey, we have to grow. And so here's what I find out. Statement number one, that in a church, you have super growth. In a church, you have super growth. I do not know how people outside of the local church grow. But I do know this, that inside of the local church, there is super growth. I remember as a young believer, I came in, and the preacher would get up, and he would preach principles of the Word of God. And to be honest with you, never heard those principles before, never understood the Bible before. But as a young believer, age 18, many, many years ago, when I sat in the pew and the Bible was open, and the preacher would get up, and the preacher would begin to preach the infallible riches of the Word of God, I would sit there like a newborn baby bird with my beak open, just waiting to be fed. Now, can I tell you, church ought to be like the Super Bowl. I mean, boy, there's excitement about going. There's excitement about showing up at church. There's excitement about hearing the Word of God preached. There's excitement about watching people serve God and seeing your friends again and fellowshipping again. It ought to be like a personal Super Bowl. And inside of that personal Super Bowl that we're going to call church, we're going to say that there is a super growth. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All right, so the Bible teaches here that there is that growth. Now, God says this. God says, but grow in grace. So God wants us to grow. Now, He tells us where He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in grace. Now, what is that? That is God's unmerited favor. So God says, here, I want you to do. I want you to grow in grace. In other words, I want you to grow in My favor. I want you to grow in the way that I am going to feed you. By the way, what you put in is what you're going to produce energy with, and eventually what will come out, if you will, especially out of that heart. And so we understand this. We understand that we ought to continue in the local church because it is a place of super growth. You know, there's people sitting in this room that has come to church for many, many, many months. And they come because they've never been in a Christian church before. They've never been in a Bible-preaching church before. And so to them, it's a new phenomena. To them, it's something that somebody invited them to come. They've never been in a place like this before. And they're open. They want to learn the Word of God. They want to grow in Christ. But they know nothing about any of that. All they know is that somebody invited them to church. Now, here's the deal. What happens is when somebody comes to church and they hear about salvation, sometimes a person will take that and they will chew on that a little bit. I've never heard that before. And so they'll chew on it just a little bit. And then they'll chew on it and think about it a little bit more. And they might even do some research to find out, is these things true? Now, by the way, the Word of God is true. The Bible teaches, Jesus is speaking in John 14 and verse 6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. But for somebody that's never been in this type of an arena before, they come and they evaluate it, they think about it, they chew on it, they might investigate it, they might research it. But can I tell you, the more they research it, the more they evaluate it, the more that they be able to see, is this really the true Christ, the more that they're going to come to an understanding of, yes, he is. Now, wait a minute, though. And so as they come to church, they begin to get, after salvation, some super growth. That day comes when they receive Christ as Savior. And after that, they begin to grow, just like I did. There was that hunger. There was that thirst after righteousness. I don't know if you ever do this. Did you ever pick up a book and start to read the book and you just could not put it down? I mean, you just would not take a relief from that particular book. You know, there are many, many, many people that once they get saved, they pick up the Bible and they just cannot put it down. Why? Because the riches of God's word is just pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. We had a man not too long ago who was coming to the church and evaluating things, and a Muslim man, and he said, "Now I've come to the understanding." He said, "Christ is real." And he bowed his heart and he received Christ as Savior. That's a wonderful testimony. We've had other people come to the church and they did not grow up with any type of religious heritage whatsoever. And they hear the riches of God's word and they begin to be convicted and have an understanding given to them by God himself through the Holy Spirit and through the Bible truth. And they come to that place where they receive Christ as Savior. Look, can I tell you that it's a whole lot easier to go to a place where the food is already prepared to be able to take it in than to have to go and figure out how to cook the food yourself. When you come to church, the food's already prepared. There's a Sunday school class where you can plug into. There's preaching you can plug into. And here's what we find out, that through plugging into areas like that, lives begin to change. We see that marriages begin to be redeemed. We see that parents now gain an insight as to how God would have them to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Years ago, there was a friend of Teddy Roosevelt. His last name was Wister. His first name was Owen. And so Owen Wister visited Teddy Roosevelt, his longtime academic friend that he had all the way back in the high school years, and he visited him. Laura was quite active. That was Teddy Roosevelt's daughter. I'm sorry, Alice. Alice was the daughter he was talking about. Alice was very active. And Alice was somebody who was having trouble controlling herself. I mean, she was sort of like bouncing off the walls. And so all of a sudden, Mr. Wister's over here talking to Teddy Roosevelt and says, "I don't understand. How come you can let Alice get away with all that? I mean, aren't you embarrassed? She's running in and outside of the room. She's climbing all over the furniture. And why don't you rebuke her? Why don't you instruct her? Why don't you help her?" And here's what Teddy Roosevelt said. He said, "I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to be the president," is what he said, "either I'm going to be the president of the United States or I'm going to be a father. And I had to choose to be the president." Now, can I tell you, I think he should have got some help somewhere along the line. I think somebody should have stepped in. I told the story yesterday. We were at the couples retreat, and we love great, great men of God and people that God used and the business world and whatnot. And David Livingston was a fantastic explorer and fantastic missionary. And he had a son that just wanted to get close to him. That's all he wanted to do. All he wanted to do was get close to Daddy. That's all he wanted to do. Daddy was a great explorer, and Daddy was, of course, fighting the war against slavery over in Africa, and his son would rise up and say, "Dad, can I go with you on this?" And his dad would say, "No, it's too dangerous." "Well, Dad, can I go with you on this to explore this?" "No, it's too treacherous." "Well, Dad, can I go over?" "No, I've got work to do." And he just kept shoving that boy away, shoving that boy away, shoving that boy away, so that the boy never felt like he had a good relationship with his dad. All of a sudden, the war broke out here in the States. And he came over to join a Union army, and he died in North Carolina. I was telling those at the couples retreat, it was a very sad day. They pulled a meat wagon in. It was in a sort of like a concentration camp, if you would please, a prisoner camp. The prisoner camp would only hold a couple hundred people, but On that particular day, there was over 1,500 men that was crammed in that prison camp. They brought a meat wagon in that was a flatbed wagon, and all it had was just raw meat thrown on top of it. And they rushed that meat wagon, because if you didn't rush it, you didn't get any meat. But what happened was, he rushed it too quick and he got shot in the back. As they were burying the bodies, a note fell out. And the person that was burying the body knew of this one by the name of David Livingston. It was a note to his daddy. He picked up that note and he decided as a believer he was going to get that note back to his dad. And in that note, as he opened it up, he said, "Dad, I hope you're proud of me. You would not let me get close to you in Africa. But I figured if I would be after the same cause, maybe you would love me." He felt rejected by dad. Now, I want to tell you something about the local church. The local church is a place where you could come and you can grow together as a family. The local church is a place where you can come and you can feel like, man, God is working in my life. You know, we try to push our children back to their parents. We try and help people that are parents to understand the ways of the Bible. We try to help people to understand that, listen, God wants all of us as believers, not just some of us. God wants all of us as believers to obey Him. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. God wants us to please Him. It doesn't matter what somebody's friend thinks or what somebody's friend says. What matters is are you pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says, "And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls." Young believer comes in and says, "Okay, I got saved. Now what do I do?" Then you get baptized. Being baptized does not make a person go to heaven. It does not merit heaven. But it's the first step of a believer to identify with their Christ, that Christ now is their Christ. That Christ is their Savior. What it's saying is, I receive Christ as my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of Him. It's almost like going down to Walmart and putting the Walmart jacket on, or going to McDonald's and putting their uniform on, or going down to Burger King and putting their uniform on, or going down to maybe some type of sales agency, and you have to wear a certain type of shirt in order to be able to work on the floor, or whatever the case may be. That's what baptism does. Baptism says, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm willing to identify with Him. And that's how come the Bible teaches that when a person's baptized, they're baptized in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. Now, there is a thing going around here in Dallas, and I want to tell you, it's not scriptural. A man came in the other day, and I checked on it, and there's several churches doing it here in Dallas, and it's wrong. They baptize in the name of the Father, name of the Son, and the name of the pastor. Now, can I tell you, that is not scriptural. But there's a lot of churches that are picking that up around Dallas. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that is not right. That is not scriptural. It's supposed to be name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to stick to the Bible. We're not supposed to create our own Bible. Here's what we understand. The Bible says, and they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. So these people were baptized into the membership of the local church, and can I tell you, it doesn't stop there. Even though you come into the church, and the church is a place, I believe, of super growth. Nobody else is going to open the Bible in your house and probably say, "Let's have a Bible study." No choir is going to come to your house and elevate you to be able to get closer to God. You're probably not going to get the soloist that sang this morning to come to your house and say, "I just came to sing for you so that you can feel closer to God." You see, all these elements in the local church creates a thirst. You're not going to get that someplace else. You're not going to get to go around and shake hands of fellow believers someplace else. You're not going to enjoy hearing the testimonies about how God worked in somebody's heart. And you're not going to get to see somebody walk down the aisle that receives Christ as Savior and that follows the Lord in baptism, or people uniting with the church. You're not going to see that at your house. You're not going to see that. And I praise the Lord for the live stream. And I realize that we have people that when they're sick, they stay home and they watch the live stream. But live stream is not a replacement for the local church. You know, it's just something different about coming to church. Watch this, okay? All of a sudden, preacher hits something. Man, he hits it hard. And all of a sudden, you scout the auditorium to see, okay, how did they take that? Well, you can't do that any other way. I'm saying this. I'm saying that church is a place for super growth. Statement number one. Statement number two, it's a place for super fellowship. I'm talking about super fellowship. You know, I was so glad to see close to 70 adults that came on our marriage couple retreat. I was so glad to see that. I remember we started that years ago, and Brother Butler helped me to start that, and Brother Butler did that for his former pastor many years ago, and I found out about that, and I said, Brother Butler, would you consider helping me and starting that right here? And he said, oh man, I'd be delighted to do so, and he did, and he has championed the cause. I'm telling you, he and Mrs. Butler has gone out of their way. Those that have helped them has gone out of their way. And this thing has just grown and grown and grown. And it's just a super time of fellowship. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the Bible says, and fellowship. So they fellowship together. The Bible says in the breaking of bread. Now, by the way, that's not talking about the Lord's Supper. Every time the Lord's Supper is mentioned in your scriptures, the cup is always mentioned. There's no mention of the cup here. But the Bible says in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So church is a place of fellowship. We have sports programs that's in our church. We have a basketball league. You know, that's good for the young people. That's good for the old people too. Because people get to come out and fellowship. In our sports league, we have a volleyball league as well. And can I tell you, that's good for the young ladies that's participating in that, but it's also good for the adults. You know why? It's called fellowship. We have a little league soccer group. Hey, that's good for the little bitty kids that goes out there and tries to kick a ball that's almost bigger than they are. But it's also good for those that's coming out for fellowship. We have a ladies' Christmas fellowship this coming Monday night that you certainly are invited to be able to come to. Now, that's a fellowship. We have we just had a winter romance, which was for couples. That's a fellowship time. We have singles rallies. That's a fellowship time. We have a college and career class. That's a fellowship time. We have college and career activities. That's a fellowship time. We have a children's activities. That's a fellowship time. The choir gets up here on Sunday afternoon and they practice at 5 o'clock. That's a fellowship time. We have 9 different times of soul winning that's in our church. That's a fellowship time. We have a Labor Day picnic. That's a fellowship time. We have decorating for all different types of conferences that we have. People who come up, they help to decorate. Hey, there's times of fellowship. We have a chili cook-off where people try to cook the best chili. That's a fellowship. We have a fall festival every year where people can come and enjoy playing games with their children over in the gym. What is that called? That's called fellowship. We break our Sunday schools up, and many times we have Sunday school competition. What is that called? That's called fellowship. We have the Love Thy Neighbor Week where we go out and try and help everybody that lives in our own communities and love them and just serve them and do something special for them. What is that called? That's called fellowship as families come together. We have a 9 bus route. We run 10 buses now every Sunday. We have 9 bus routes, and there's workers that work on each and every bus route. I think 74 workers that work in the bus ministry. Well, what is that? That is called fellowship. We have America for Christ that goes out on Saturday afternoons at 2 o'clock, and they get on the bus, and they go out, and they go. So what is that called? That's called fellowship. We have after-church fellowships on Sunday morning and Sunday night, such as tonight for some leaders. That's fellowship. We have adult Bible study in the way of Sunday school with 16 adult Sunday school classes and many teen classes and many children's classes. What is that called, preacher? fellowship. Are you getting the idea? We're a fellowshipping church. Hey, we have Young Fundamentalists that meets on Sunday night with the teenagers upstairs. What's that called? Fellowship. We have Bible Blazers for children, sixth grade and under, that meets in the gym at 5. What's that called? Fellowship. We have adult discipleship training for new believers and new church members over in the building over here at 5 o'clock. What's that called, preacher? Fellowship. Right now, we have 9 other services going on. And in those 9 other services, what is that? That's called fellowship. We have 5 English junior churches and 2 Spanish services and 1 primary service, 1 special needs service. And inside of those 9 services, not including this one, hey, there's people working together and they're fellowshipping together. We have a journalism club for teenagers that's called fellowship. We have Far Above Rubies for girls that's called fellowship. We have the Baptist Scout Rangers. What is that called? That's called fellowship. We have nursery workers. That's called fellowship. We have a nursing home ministries. What is that called, preacher? That's called fellowship. We have 5 choirs, the primary choir, the junior choir, and the teen choir, and the adult choir, and the bus ministry choir. And all 5 of those choirs, can I tell you, if a person comes to our church and they say, I'm lonely and I just don't have any fellowship, hey, if you come to me, I can plug you in someplace, and can I tell you, neighbor, you have fellowship. There's all sorts of fellowship. Now, by the way, you've got to be willing. That's what I said a few minutes ago. We can't necessarily bring fellowship to your house. But we can provide as a local church ways to fellowship. Every so often there will be Lone Star Baptist College, even that the young people are here from different parts of the nation to receive their Bible education, because they are going to be pastors, because they are going to be missionaries, because they are going to work in a Christian educational training purpose somewhere. So they attend our Bible college and they stay in our student dorms, all right? Now, wait a minute. As these young people come in, you realize they've left their moms, they left their dads, they've come here. You could have fellowship with a young person that's training to go to the mission field. I'm saying there's all sorts of ways to be able to fellowship. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, the Bible says, and all that believed, it says, were together and had all things common. All things common. The Bible says, and they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men, and as every man had need, and they continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread, it says, from house to house, and they did eat their meat with gladness and with a singleness of heart. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Bible says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. All right? And so what were they doing? They were fellowshipping around. Fellowshipping around. You know, we try to meet the needs of those that we have that's in our neighborhood. And we try and do special things for people that live in our neighborhood from time to time and stuff like that. Now, what is that? Somebody's trying to reach out. Where do we learn to do that? I learned to do that in the local church. Let me give you this. I said there is the super church, or a super way to grow. Why is it that we should continue in the local church? Because there's a super growth that's offered. There's a super fellowship that's offered. I love this, and I'm done. There's a super work. A super work. You know, there's nothing like doing the work of God together. There's nothing like it. Somebody goes back and they get that little 10-pack of tracts that has that little rubber band around it, and they go out and they pass out 10 tracts. Say, what's that all about, preacher? It's called doing the work of God together. Those that work in the bus ministry, and you say, but preacher, I'm not in the bus ministry, but you give to it. Doing the work of God together. The missionaries that we support, that's going out representing you, me, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel on the mission fields of the world. That's a super work. You know, the Bible talks in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. The Bible talks about in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says, and Saul, It says, was consenting unto his death. The Bible says that there was that which was persecution. It was against the church, that church at Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad. But the Bible says that they did something, and then when they were scattered abroad, Acts chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says that they were scattered abroad and went everywhere, it says, preaching the word. So what were they doing? They were doing a super work. It's amazing to me how that God burdens different people different ways. It's really amazing to me. Some people will underwrite the gospel of Christ. They'll underwrite the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll underwrite the gospel by their finances, and they couple together in partnership. Others will use so much energy, and they give it everything they've got, and they go to a mission field to be able to follow God's calling. Others will work in rescue missions, and you can tell as you deal with different ones, their heart is so pulled towards trying to help those that live under the street and live under the bridges, and they got such a heart to be able to help people in that caliber, that level, that rip, to be able to reach in. Others have such a great heart, and I see people, it's in the public school, and Denton is here this morning, and he and his wife are trying to help me to be able to get the Bible into the public school, and they've got such a heart for that. You know, I see people have a heart for teenagers. I see people have a heart for children. I see people have a heart for the bus ministry. And you say, well, that's not my heart. But see, here's the thing. What makes up a church is everybody pulling together. That's what makes up a church. I've said often, I could take an A Sunday school teacher, put him in a B department, they'll pull out their hair. I could take a B worker and put him in a C department, they might pull out their hair. I could take a C worker and put him in an A department, they might pull out their hair. You know why? Because we're dealing with so many different types of people and trying to love and trying to help. And I could take somebody speaking Spanish, bring them into the auditorium this morning. They would not understand a word I said. They just kind of stare at me. They might smile. If we didn't have an interpreter for the deaf, they would not be able to understand a word I said. You understand, God uses every single one of us in the local body to accomplish the greater cause of fulfilling the work of God. And God has a work for every single living human being that's a part of a local church. Can I tell you, God has a work for you. There was a fellow by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. Here's what he said. He said, the world sleeps in darkness while the church sleeps in light. It's true. You know, I think that during Christmas time, can I tell you, dear friend, we have such a wonderful opportunity to be able to get out that gospel. But if we're not careful, we become so self-centered. It's all about us. Well, it's not. Because more than you have that which is a super church, more than you have that which is a super area to grow in, more than you have that which is a super area to fellowship in, more than you have a super a place to be able to have a super work of God, can I tell you, you have a super Christ. And you can carry him anywhere. You can be able to introduce him to everyone. And so by doing, you can watch God reach down from heaven and change a man, and change a woman, change an adult, if you will, a teenager, a child. You can watch God do a super intense work in somebody else's life. I'm going to testify and I'm done. I remember witnessing to my older brother, Dave, and Dave is 6 years older than I am. He's in heaven now. I remember witnessing to Dave over and over again, and Dave wanted nothing to do with the gospel. Dave owned his own electrical company in York, Pennsylvania, called Wells Electric, but he wanted nothing to do with the gospel. I remember witnessing to him and witnessing him and my nieces and nephews listening to our podcast all the time, and they could attest that Dad wanted nothing to do with the gospel. But I remember praying for Dave and giving Dave gospel track after gospel track after gospel track. And Sean, his son, had a part in him coming to know Christ as Savior. But after Dave got saved, now Dave had cancer, but Dave decided, I've got, you ever feel this way? You ever feel like you're behind and you need to catch up? That's what Dave felt like. Dave felt like, you know, I've given all this time to making money, being a success, building a huge business. I've done all this. And he said, but I've never one time considered Christ. So Dave felt like he had to make it up. And so Dave just went nuts in a good way, but making it up. He passed out gospel tracts everywhere he went, and that's good. That's not necessarily nuts. But he got into these stickers. You know, these stickers you put on the back of your car and someone like in bold print. Yeah, repent or perish. You know, turn or burn. I mean, all this stuff. You know, I mean, the bold stuff, you know, the bold stuff. And he put them all over his windows and stuff like this. And of course, now, you know, he's a businessman. But I mean, he put these because he said, he said at every waking moment, he said, I just feel like I shortchanged the Lord. Now, this is testimony of his kids. And so he wanted to really make up in his service for Christ. Now, wait a minute. I do know this. I know that everybody has different personalities. Do you know it? I mean, some people, you know, they're just right here. Other people, they're here, and other people, they're in here. And the way God created you is the way that God doesn't want you to be someone else, but God does want us to serve him. And no service is greater than another service. Please understand that. So you're not trying to be in competition with somebody else. Well, I tell you what, I passed out more tracts than so-and-so this week, so I'm more spiritual. Not necessarily true. You know, well, I did this week, and so, boy, I tell you what, I've got more of God's favor. No, God wants us all to do our best for him, no matter what our best is. For me, I try to be the best I can in my area that God has called me in. For you, you're supposed to be the best you can in the area God has called you in. Now, whatever area that is, God wants you to rise up to be able to do that. And that's what makes up a local church. There are those of us that can do this, that can't do this. Others can do this, but can't do this. And here's what God says. God says, hey, look, all I want you to do is just do what you're supposed to do individually. And that's what makes up that super time, a fellowship. You come together, somebody wants to talk about this, somebody wants to fellowship over this, somebody wants to do this, fellowshipping for the sake of the gospel, but everybody having their part. And see, that's what keeps it going to the point, to the place where many people are reached with the gospel. By the way, can I help you? I'm going to love you, but here it is. I've heard missionaries get up. They begin to speak. It's very monotone. It's very right here. But they could organize something out the back door. And I visited their works after 10 and 15 and 20 years. They're not dynamic in their presentation. They're dynamic in their organization. And because of that, God has blessed them. You know what they did? Here's what they did. They said, I'm going to be used of God with what I have. And they are. And because of that, God has bless them. Say, what's it all about, preacher? I can tell you what it's all about. I can tell you that you can be encouraged to continue in the local church, continue serving God, giving it all that you've got in the area that God is using you in. Father, we thank you for today. I pray that you'll help.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.